The ball is curled in now and it's headed out to the far post, and there's Helder Costa, and Costa scores! A terrific strike from Helder Costa!
Here we go with Leeds United. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the official Leeds United podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're here once again with Jermaine Beckford, of course, Hollywood actor Matthew Lewis, say up Matthew, and Patrick Bamford is back for more. You're right, Pat?
Yep, all good, thank you.
And of course, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, guys. How are we?
All very good, thank you. Did you all have a good New Year? Was it a quiet one?
Relatively for me.
Wasn't much else we could do, was there? I absolutely thrashed my parents and wife at Monopoly, so that was great.
Well done. Did you manage to bag Mayfair?
Yeah, it was a clean sweep. It was actually the Leeds edition, so it was Millennium Square.
Oh, but, yes. Yes.
Nice.
And what about you, Jermaine? What did you get up to?
Pretty much the same old, same old. Watched a lot of football, which was great.
Yeah.
I didn't quite see Patrick's 2 hat-tricks, which is a little bit frustrating because I'm pretty sure he promised them both.
We'll be having words about that in a minute, Patrick.
I actually messaged Matt as well. I was like, no pressure on the flipping the next game then. And then we win 5-0 and I don't even score.
Patrick, how did you celebrate New Year?
To be honest, I watched a film with Michaela and then went to bed and kind of stayed up until 12 watching... I think it was Alicia Keys was on BBC One or something for the light show.
Had a wild one then, didn't you?
Nothing too interesting.
You had a bit of fun with a rabbit though, didn't you?
What?
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Wow, that's taken a quick turn.
PG podcast here, Matt.
That's not how it sounds, basically. When I was at training during the day, Michaela sent me a video. She was like, check this out. And this rabbit sprinted across the garden and this little thing started chasing after it. Didn't really know what it was. And then she went round into the other room and looked out the window, and literally a foot away from the window, this stoat was just chewing the back of a rabbit's head. Had taken it out. And I'm not joking, the rabbit was massive and the stoat was tiny and it had just taken it down. And so then obviously when I got back, I had to deal with the rabbit.
Well done, Matty. Well done for bringing that up. You're talking to two vegans here.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know that footballers, Premier League footballers, live in the real world and they have to do stuff like this. That was Pat's New Year. How do you think he felt?
Pat, did you give it a little burial?
I'm going to be honest. I was just dreading coming back to it being half alive, so I'd have to spade it or something, but I didn't. It was already dead.
Oh my gosh.
It was already dead. And so I put it on the shovel, walked down to the beck, and then I flung it in the stream and so that it went down.
Feels like a Netflix documentary.
There was a woman opposite, right? There was an old lady and she started coming over because the dogs wouldn't go back to her. I was like, oh, sorry, they can probably smell the rabbit. And she was like, oh, is that what you were doing? So she just seen me walking down with a shovel. Like.
All right, in hindsight, I do regret bringing this up.
Hey, I had to. It was the only option.
At least if anyone has seen Patrick Bamford walking around with a massive spade, they now understand why.
Oh my God.
We're going to dedicate the 3rd official Leeds United podcast to that rabbit. This one's for you, my friend.
Rabbit.
Before we crack on, obviously, we're going to reflect on those games.
Do you not want to know what I did New Year's Eve now?
Oh, yeah, Jermaine, what did you do? Please tell me you didn't bury any
animals. Because I'm here as well, you know.
What did you do?
Well, the family and I sat down and watched a movie on Disney Plus called Soul. It was brilliant.
Oh, yes, this
absolutely
is the new
brilliant.
One, isn't it?
It is. Oh, my goodness. And because I'm a music fan as well, it didn't play any music that I know, but it was just pure jazz music and soul music. It was just, it was wicked. What a movie. If you haven't seen it yet, guys, trust me. Go and watch it. You won't be disappointed.
Well, we've taken this podcast in all sorts of directions already, haven't we? We've only been on for a few minutes. But thank you, Jermaine, for lightening it a little bit.
I felt like I had to.
Have we got any New Year's resolutions? Patrick, I know when we spoke to you on the previous episode, you kind of said, if I'm going to do something, I might as well change it now. And that's kind of my attitude as well to things. But Matt and Jermaine, what about you guys?
Get out of tier 4.
We're in tier 5 now, aren't we?
Yeah, tier 5. You managed tier 5. That one already.
Well, I'm in Lancashire, so I'm tier 4. Have some of that.
No, we're all
tier
in lockdown,
5.
Jermaine. Have you?
Is it? Oh, is that what Boris said yesterday? Oh my God!
Who wants to break it to Jermaine, guys?
Oh man, this is painful.
Yeah, It's a new lockdown.
This is
mate.
Painful.
Sorry.
Matt, do you have any New Year's resolutions, Matt?
No, I don't. I'm kind of very similar to you two on that front. I mean, I've had an atrocious Christmas, by the way. Like, I've not been able to leave the house because I've been with my parents.
Oh, sounds horrible.
And so, no, I mean, it's been nice. It's been nice to like see them and that. But I've not moved from the sofa. I've moved from like the kitchen to the sofa and back again.
Just been Harry Potter on repeat.
Yeah, mate, all day, get them royalties
we
in, you know.
We could tell, pal.
Yeah, I've got. Thanks, mate. So that's my only New Year's resolution: get back in the gym so that Bex don't take the piss every week. That's it.
I don't think that's going to stop it, is it? Well, do you know what? Happy New Year, and Jermaine, happy new tier. We're here and we're cracking on.
Wait.
And this is a little highlight for us all. So thank you so much for joining us. Let's talk about the recent games because Patrick, when we last had you on, you hadn't played the three games over the festive period yet. How are you feeling? What do you take away from that? I mean, I think all three of us can agree we're pretty chuffed with how you boys performed, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you'd have said before the three games, 6 points out of nine, I think everyone would have taken it. I think that the fact that we won the first two and then going into Spurs, we thought we could get something from the game. It was just one of them where they were ruthless with their chances and we ultimately weren't. But that they're a good team. And I think that the fact that we are a little bit downhearted on that, losing to Spurs, I think that shows a lot about how far we've come.
It feels like he's being interviewed. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I was fuming that I didn't score in the 5-0.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it, Patrick, because one of these two were going
to... I was going mad. I was trying my hardest. I was thinking, this, I could be out there for another 2 hours here and I'm not going to score. Rafa obviously scored a worldie, didn't he, in the Rafinha in the game. He scored a great goal. And he was really happy after. And the first thing I said to him was, yeah, good goal, but when are you going to assist me?
Well, Matt, as a fan, over to you. Like, how do you feel about the performance in those three games?
I think that absolutely summed that up perfectly. I mean, the disappointment that we feel whenever we lose any of these games seems to be just from the pressure that we've put on ourselves from playing so well in other games. I mean, we mentioned it when we talked about the Man United game last week or week before. And these aren't games that a newly promoted side should be expecting to win. And yet it feels like the whole country is sort of feeling like we can get a result against anyone. And so when we do it, we go, oh, bloody hell, we could have won that. We could have got some points there. But actually, we're talking about away at Spurs. Jose Mourinho, you know, this is not an easy game by any stretch. And I actually thought we played really well. You know, I thought that very, very dubious penalty was a big turning point. It kind of reminded me a bit of the Crystal Palace game in that it was a game that actually, if you rerun it a couple of times, it could go either way. But there were just these key moments that didn't quite go in our favour. So I wasn't too disappointed with it. And as Pat said there, 6 points from Burnley and West Brom, that's the games you need to be winning if you want to stay up, which is still actually the main goal, isn't it? I mean, being up in 12th is fantastic and the sky's the limit for us, but staying up's all we've got to do, isn't it? And also, last thing to say as well, everyone talks about this congested period and that we're going to burn out and all this. And you guys broke your running stats at West Brom like 24, 48 hours after you'd just beaten Burnley. So you not only are you winning games, but you're also shooting down nonsense as well. So it's, I love it.
We spoke about the fact that it was so congested for you. As a player, how was that period with the intensity of it?
So after playing Burnley, we had an ice bath straight after the game. Then the next day, straight in the morning, was just ice bath again and the cycle. Then we travelled to the hotel and the morning of the game against West Brom, we all had to go in an ice bath again. Honestly, it was horrible. Like, I've never done it before in my life. 3 days on a bounce ice bath, especially before the game.
How long do you have to stay in the ice bath for?
10 minutes, but at the training ground, it's all right because it's like it's just water and the temperature's taken down by a machine. But obviously, when we were at the hotel, it's literally feels like a bucket of ice. Like, there's more ice in it than there is water, it feels. And it is horrible. But somehow, as Matt said, we broke the record. And I don't know how, because in that game, I felt absolutely rotten. My legs were gone.
But it is incredible because you do just find that momentum and that strength to just keep going. And that is what, like Matt said there, it's just fascinating to watch. And it is part of what makes you guys so entertaining as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. The fact that we run about, people say that we're kind of gung-ho and out of position a lot, but that's just our style of play. And
as you know, we have to be super fit under Marcelo's kind of tactics. And even if it's 48 hours between the games, I think part of it is mental strength. Once you get into the game, you kind of forget a little bit about your legs until maybe the 60th minute, and then it all comes crashing down.
But it did help being 4-0 up, I've got to say.
I want to ask about other teams' tactics to try and negate that fitness level, because, and this might be me being biased here, I didn't go over all the stats of the game, but against Spurs, particularly in the first half, I thought that every time we got the ball in the middle and we found a bit of space, there'd be a really cynical foul to just try and break up our play. Yeah. And the referee seemed to have left his yellow card back in the changing room. And I know that KP was getting a bit frustrated about it. Is that annoying when you know that you guys are fit and teams are trying to just break that up and get themselves a breather? Does that frustrate you guys a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that he got it bang on with Spurs, that Højbjerg in midfield, he could have been booked within the first 15, 20 minutes. And
absolutely,
he got away with it the whole game. And it slows down the tempo. You don't get to build the rhythm. And that they were doing, as you said, the key moments. They either scored at the key moment or they were making a good foul and they weren't getting penalised with it. So that they could just keep doing it through the whole game. But I've got to say, that Spurs game, the last 30 minutes was the most frustrated I'd been all season. Like, I was actually running around thinking, I'm going to try and smash someone here if they hold on to the ball too long. Like, it was a frustrating time, I've got to say.
And what was it about that last half an hour that annoyed you so much?
It was like, I knew that in the first half, so normally the way I look at it is, if I have a chance, the next one's going to come. Like, so if I miss one chance, the next one's more likely to go in. And I was thinking, where's the chance coming? The chance coming. I didn't see much of the ball in the second half. And then the fact that they were slowing it down, that they were making the little fouls, and that they were making the game harder for us. It was clever by them, really. But the fact I wasn't getting much ball as well, I was tearing around thinking, I'm going to try and put someone in Rose Ed here if I get the chance.
Do you know what? And that's something about Jack Grealish, which I really, really like. And I know seems like I'm going off on a tangent, but as soon as he gets fouled, the very first time he gets fouled in the beginning of any game, 30 seconds in, 1 minute in, straight away he's onto the referee. Look at that, straight away he's fouling me. Look, the first time he's fouled me and he's pointing at whoever it was. He does that perfectly, because then he draws attention to the amount of times he's fouled and who's fouling him and how many times that person's fouling him. It's like he's got a little tally book and he's just notching them off during the game. But you can understand why, especially somebody that likes to collect the ball, run with the ball, and he is as useful as what he is and what we are, especially in the middle of the field. I think that might be something possibly one or two of the boys might be able to use to their advantage. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think as a team, sometimes we are too honest. But that's one of the things Marcelo says, that we don't get kind of distracted or interfere with the referee. Like, ignore the referee, play our game. And it is hard sometimes, like against Spurs the other day. But ultimately, I think that's what he'd prefer, is not to kind of talk back or try and get in arguments with the ref.
Yeah, of course. Are there big fines if you get booked for dissent?
I think yellow card's tenner.
A tenner? Ooh, big money.
Big fine.
Yeah. Careful, we're doing that anytime soon.
But I think that's from the FA, the £10. I don't think it's from the club. I'm not sure what a red card is, and to be honest, I hope
don't even try and find that one out. No. Do you know what? When I was, I think the weirdest fine I had from the FA, yellow card, it was like £3.70.
What?
£3.70 admin fee. Honestly, I saw it on my payslip and I looked and I thought, hold on, what? £3.70 having me on? I went upstairs, had a chat with the guys and girls in the office. I said, I've had a deduction of £3.70. Like, it doesn't matter, but what is it? And they said, it's for the yellow card. I said, £3.70? What's the point?
You say it doesn't matter, Jermaine, but you're still talking about it now.
I know, I'm fuming. I couldn't believe it.
Guys, I want to talk about the FA Cup shortly. But before, Marcelo, Pat, did he buy you any of his chocolates? Because quite a few people have been in touch using the hashtag LUFCpod saying they think they're called Havana's Alharo or something, I think it is. They've sent photos and said, tell Patrick they're these little cone-shaped things that we have over here and they're lovely. Does that sound right?
I think so. The shape's definitely right. I mean, I'm not sure of the name, but the answer is no, he didn't get me any.
You got no. You didn't get any Christmas presents off Bielsa. So he's dishing out cars to the staff, and you boys get now.
Yeah, you're giving 6 points. You're giving him 6 points. Not even a box of chocolates in return. Scandal.
To be fair, I don't know if his wife came over for Christmas or not. So
that's probably.
I think that's normally how they come over. I mean, she might have, but I'm not sure.
Marcelo's wife brings the Havanas to Elland Road, does she? Right then, let's talk about FA Cup because obviously. I felt like I wanted to start singing that Khalees song. let's talk about the FA Cup because obviously this weekend Leeds United faced Crawley. And Bex, I want to come to you first to talk about your memories of the FA Cup and obviously the most famous incident. Share that with us.
Oh God, here we go. Go on.
It's your time to shine, mate. Come on.
Here we go. Do you know what? One of my favourite things about the FA Cup is it's not a given as to who wins and who loses or who you're drawn against or who you're going to play against. You know, as a child, as a kid, you watch it on the TV and you see these teams from leagues, Sunday leagues almost, you know, a little bit further up, getting pitted against some of the biggest names in world football. And to be able to rub shoulders with some of these players who are classed as some of the best in the world, playing in the best leagues, you know, for me, that was always a dream of mine. And to be able to have lived it on multiple occasions and fortunately to have scored as well in a few of the games, it's massive. It was a dream come true. And that's why I'm still so passionate about it now, because, you know, when you dream something for as long as I've dreamt something and you're able to live that moment again and again and then play in these big games and score against these big teams again and again. And, you know, I love that. And I love to be able to share my emotions with people that would appreciate it. If they don't appreciate it, like Matty, then they don't appreciate it. It's not a problem. You know, but it gives me an opportunity to just be myself and just talk about something that I'm truly passionate about.
I will never want to stop hearing about that goal. Ever.
Matty, I love you, mate.
Just so you know.
And Patrick, talk to us about your FA Cup experiences.
I was just trying to think then when Jermaine said scoring in the FA Cup. I don't know if I actually have. I've played a few games. I remember when I was at Middlesbrough, I played against Arsenal, which it was nice at the Emirates, but it was horrible chasing Santi Cazorla and Ozil around.
How good is he, by the way?
he's the best I think I've played against.
Oh, my word.
Ridiculous. But other FA Cup games, I can't actually remember that many. I think from my loans and stuff, by the time I'd either left the team or joined the team, they were either finished in the FA Cup or been knocked out or whatever, or I just didn't play. So it would be nice. I don't know if I'll play this weekend, but it is a cup that, as Jermaine said, it's got a lot of history and it is nice. I feel like I was speaking to Dele after the game, after the Spurs game, and he was saying hopefully he'll play this weekend.
That's Dele Alli to anybody that doesn't know who Dele is.
Oh, sorry, just pick that name up.
It's not the most common name, is it?
Yeah. So they're playing against Marine FC or something. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what league they're in, but he's saying it's going
to be
the
lowest ranked team in the FA Cup. I would have loved to have been able to get there as well. They're only half an hour from me, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it an actual Marine team? Or
it's a football club.
Marine?
They're called Marine AFC, I think.
Where does that come from, though, that name?
Where does it... listen, I'm from Leeds stroke London. What are you talking about?
Well, you're giving it the big one about how you'd like to be there.
You live around the corner.
Down the road. Yeah. I was expecting you to have researched the history, Bex.
Do you know what? I did the FA Cup draw from Marine Stadium. That's why it's still fresh in my mind. Lovely people down there as well. I hope they win.
Oh, well, shout out to them. Is it a different feeling playing in a cup game than a league game?
Who's that to, me or Jermaine?
Both of you. I want to hear from both
to the
you.
Current pro.
To be honest, it's weird because you know it's a knockout game generally. Well, actually, is the FA Cup a replay game or knockout?
The scrap replays, yeah, no replays.
Okay,
so but there is normally.
Yeah, so. There is normally, but they haven't done it.
So it's slightly different then to the league because obviously everything's rested on that 90 or 120 minutes. But I think that it's kind of exciting, isn't it? Because as Jermaine said, say you're playing for a League Two team and you get the chance to go play away at Arsenal or away at Liverpool or away at Spurs and you get to see the big stadiums and stuff. I feel like that kind of it puts a little bit of kind of magic into for them players that probably without being disrespectful to them, but some of them might not ever get the chance to play at somewhere like that again.
Perspective has got to be different now because, I mean, obviously you've been in the Premier League before, but when you're in the Championship and you're going away to Arsenal like we did last year, that's, you know, that's the narrative is that we're a lower league team playing against these giants of Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. But now we are in the Premier League. We are, you know, a team that's competing with these guys week in, week out, and now we're playing someone from League Two. So is it a whole different angle for you as a player now?
I think that there's probably a tendency that when you're going down against a team like in League Two, you might get a little bit complacent, but that's where Marcelo's brilliant, because it doesn't matter what team he puts out, it doesn't matter who you're playing against, he'll expect exactly the same output, the same performance, same physical like performance. And at half time, say for instance, you weren't up to it, he would treat it the exact same way as if you were playing Tottenham and weren't up to it at half time. So he kind of makes sure that in your mindset, it is just another game. It's not that you're going to take it easy. You want to win.
I like that. I like that. I think that's the right attitude to have towards it. Jermaine, just before we move on, because I want to talk about the transfer window. But for you, when you played, was there a different feeling in cup games than league games?
It wasn't that long ago. What are you trying to say?
It's basically asking, what were them leather balls like? Those horrible brown balls.
The ones with the laces. No, it pretty much mirrors exactly what Pat said a moment ago. You know, you just love to turn up, and I always loved being the underdog because there's no pressure. But, you know, when the tables are turned as they are now, it's just got to be about mindset and the approach. And there's no way you'll be allowed to turn up to the game and play any type of football in any other way than what Marcelo Bielsa demands day in, day out. So, yeah, pretty much mirrored exactly what Pat said.
No, but it's just nice to hear the difference in sort of age gap. You know, hearing it from Patrick, who's...
Oh, boy.
Just wondering if your attitude changes towards it through after years.
I'm never this cold to you, Jermaine.
I'm joking.
Matty's not this cold. He feels sorry for me now.
I would never have said that.
Right, Jermaine, you know I'm joking. We love you. Let's talk transfer window, because Patrick, the last time we had you on, we spoke about what it's like when you are signing for a club, when you move here and everything. A huge part of transfers is the rumours. We all talk about it, but as a player, do you get caught up in that?
I think that players generally find their news from Twitter. So how reliable that is, I don't know.
Wow.
So sometimes in the changing room, we'll be like, oh, have you seen we've been linked with so-and-so? You do chat about it, and half the time it never actually comes to fruition, but it's interesting chats anyway.
As a player, how much do you get involved with signings and moving and stuff, or do you just pretty much leave it to your agent? Do they deal with it?
What, in terms of moving yourself or if other players are coming in?
Yeah, both really. I guess moving yourself, but also it'd be interesting to get your take on the introduction of other players and how they get integrated with you guys.
So, for yourself, generally, well, take for when I moved to Leeds, for example, my agent told me that Leeds were making an offer to Middlesbrough. Then I kind of said, he asked me, do you want to do it? I said, yeah. And then he went through they go through the nitty gritty or the paperwork and stuff. And then it was actually the Middlesbrough manager who told me that, look, you're not playing today because this deal's going through. And then it was just about leaving it to your agent to sort out, and they kind of sort everything out and then kind of just ring you up and say, this is what I've sorted, okay with you? And I've never said no. So it's pretty much that you're putting your life in the hands of someone you've got to trust, I think. And a lot of agents nowadays aren't very trustworthy. Unfortunately, I get on quite well with mine. And then when you was on about the other players coming in the summer when we was linked with Rodrigo, I was texting Jay, because obviously I was thinking, oh, they're signing the Spanish number 9. Like, what's happening here? I'm just going to be on the bench all season. And he said, no, I think that he's looking at him because he can play with you. He can play number 10, number 9, number 7, number 11. He's just an attacking player. And I think that the fact that we were signing him kind of motivated me that, like, oh God, I've got to make sure that I'm on it, because then if not, he is going to take my place. And as soon as I saw him, you could see how good he was. I mean, on the ball, he's brilliant, and you can tell why he plays for Spain. So then once I realised, actually, there's a chance that I could play with him, it kind of got me excited. It got me really excited because you want to be playing with the good players. And I think that playing with better players actually improves you quicker. So it was one of them. When he came in, I was nervous at first, but then excited.
What's that greeting like? Like that exchange when you first meet what you deem to be almost like your competition. What is it like? Can you paint that picture for us?
Yeah, at the majority of clubs I've been at, it's been quite cold with the other strikers. Or it can go one of two ways. They can either just say hello, not make a big fuss, or they can be overly false. And you think, yeah, you're pretending to be my best mate, but I know what you're doing. There's only been a couple of times where it's actually been, like, you can tell they're being honest. And one of them was actually Rodrigo. He's probably the most friendliest guy I've met. Ooh. Because he was like it with everyone. And the fact that he spoke English pretty much perfectly already helped. So he was really bubbly. And then when I was at Middlesbrough, when Britt signed Son Belonga, I'd known Britt since I was 15. So we were like best mates anyway. So we were just happy that we were both at the same team. So it can go one or two ways.
But I guess, you know, when you're the newbie and you're coming into a side that's already settled together, you're going to kind of come in and want to be accepted. Do you boys talk amongst yourselves and about how you can help them and stuff like that?
I think that, especially at Leeds, the first kind of tell sign is when you do the first murder ball. When Rodrigo, Rafinha especially, when they first did it, you could tell these guys are really going to help the team. And there was times in training where I'd be watching Rafinha and then go back in the, because we're in split change rooms at the minute, there's only like four or five in a change room because obviously COVID. I'd go back in and say, yeah, this Raf he's going to be really good for us. The closest similarity to him is, he's very much like Di Maria. I mean, I've never trained or played with Di Maria, but watching him and watching the way Rafa moves, left-footed, they are really slim. The fact he can run all day, he's fast. I think out of all the signings so far, he's the one who probably caught my eye.
Guys, I want to know as well your favourite transfer stories, whether the moves actually took place, whether they went through or whether they fell through. And Matt, I want to hear from you as well as a fan, any stories that you've got growing up as a football fan.
It's got to be Odd and Wingy. It's got to be, right?
Hands
down. He just showed up, just pulled up at, was it QPR he was going to?
Yeah, and there was pictures of him on Sky Sports News.
Yeah, and he was waving, signing autographs, sitting in his car, you know, like saying, oh, I can't wait to sign this contract. It's going to be amazing. And then the deal broke down. The deal broke down. It just didn't happen. And the following day, he had to travel back up to was it Stoke? He had to go back to Stoke, didn't he?
Oh, God.
Painful. Oh, painful.
That must be such an awful feeling, though. You know, you're there, you've immersed yourself in it, you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden, it ain't happening.
He was really trying to force it through, wasn't he?
He went before anything had been agreed. Oh. I am going, that's it, I'm moving to London. No, you're not, pal.
Back with your tail between your legs.
Pat, like how much of like the social media and the headlines, like how much of is he absorbing of that? Like, are you guys protected from that stuff, or is he seeing all of everyone talking about the mess he's just made?
I think that nowadays with Twitter and Instagram, it's just everywhere, isn't it? I mean, everyone our age has pretty much got them apps, and you can't help but see it because it just it spreads like wildfire, doesn't it? Trending everywhere. There's no way you're hiding yourself from that. The worst thing is, imagine, right? Say that was you, Bex, and your kids saw it, and then it's coming up, and they're like, "Dad, what are you doing?"
Yeah, they're phoning you and messaging you. Why are you in London? You said you were going out to get some milk. Oh my gosh. And then the next day the kids have got to deal with it at school. The missus has got to deal with it at work. Like, oh mate, that's painful. That is painful.
Do you guys have, you know, Patrick, do you have a favourite story? Do you know anyone that you've played with or anything who's, you know, they've really thought, right, this deal's done, I'm going, that's the job done, and then it's fallen through?
Not offhand, no. Generally, the guys that I'm friends with in football, if they've moved somewhere, it's generally gone pretty smoothly. I've never heard of it. I've heard of chairman blocking moves. Sometimes it does get blocked before it even gathers momentum. But in terms of actually a deal falling through last minute, I don't know anyone who that's happened to.
Oh, man.
I've had one fall through last minute.
Have you?
I was, I was playing for Bolton and I was just about to leave Bolton. I'd agreed a contract with Fulham. I didn't sign anything, but we agreed a contract, etc. Found somewhere to live, and at the last minute they pulled the plug and signed Matt Smith.
Good striker though, innit?
Not as good as me though, pal.
So someone send this pod on to Matt Smith.
Much better than me in the air. Much better than me in the air.
Good header of the ball, wasn't he?
They just needed a different type of striker. But it ended up working out for me in the long run anyway, because I ended up signing for Preston and doing pretty well there and managed to score a hat-trick at Wembley. So I can't complain too much.
I did a job for the BBC once and I was supposed to be coming in the afternoon and I got a call at like 10 in the morning that I had to get in right now, ASAP. So I was like, oh, what the hell's going on here? And it was like the first month and it was my first lead role and so I was already a bit nervous anyway. And
what was
I got
it for?
In. I can't tell you what it was because you'll... so I got into work and the producer come into my trailer and he says, listen, I'm really sorry to bring you in. We've had a few issues on set this morning. I'll explain later on. And then the other lead role who was playing my brother in it, he came in and he was like white and he was like, mate, it's been horrible. This guy's come in and he's been doing this scene all morning. We've been working since like 8 a.m. and basically he's just been terrible. He didn't know any of his lines. He's been really bad. He'd been doing it again and again. So they decided to recast this bloke.
Oh, no
way. But they didn't tell him. So they were recasting him all morning while he's on set doing his work.
Oh, wow.
And so as this bloke comes off for lunch, his replacement is arriving.
No.
And Does he look similar?
I guess so. They must have, right? And he goes into the trailer. The producer said to him, really sorry, we're letting you go. And so they had to move my scene earlier. That's why I got brought in. But then we're all ourselves for the whole week going, if they've recast this bloke in one morning, they could recast any of us. And I was thinking about all the people he's told, like his agent, like everyone, like, yeah, I'm going to be on TV.
All his friends, family.
BBC, everyone expecting him. And he's just got to go home at lunchtime and they've recast him and someone else has done it for the rest of the series. And it's never happened to me. It's the only time I've seen it. But like people get recast in like read-throughs. You go for a read-through before you even start and you've told everyone you got this great job. And then the producers or someone will hear you at the read-through and it's not going to be you.
Matty, say that you've been... Say you've been cast in one of them like programs. Do you not sign a contract that means they can't get rid of you?
You sign a contract, but I mean, I guess there must also be a clause in there that I guess at the end of the day they said that he didn't know his lines and stuff, so I guess he wasn't fulfilling his end of the contract, and so they were able to sort of let him go. And usually, like particularly when you do pilots. If you do a pilot episode, that's kind of subject to recasting anyway. So even if the pilot's really good, and I've had this before when I've done a pilot for something and the pilot was really good and they ended up going to series, but then they recast the show. So that the show was great. They wanted the show, just not the people in it. So that happens.
So you have been in that situation.
I've had that before. It's not quite the same as being like literally like
in a full
series.
He didn't want to bring that one
up,
did he?
And being kicked out. I have had that. Yeah, I have had that.
Well, I guess that kind of leads into the question I was going to ask then, because you're all in high profile roles, Jermaine, you still even now. I mean, does it breed insecurity to a degree?
Nah, you have to have confidence in your ability. And as Matty would know this more than anybody, and I'm not singling you out, mate. This is like, I'm praising you for who you are and your character here. This is going to be the only time we do this. So when you're confident in your ability and you know that you're good, you don't worry about whether you're going to get a role, i.e. Matty, or if you're going to get another club, i.e. myself, Patrick. I say myself, it's not going to happen, but I cling on to the hope. And, you know, if you doubt yourself, you doubt your abilities, the people around you will doubt you and your abilities as well. So they won't want to trust you in certain situations, and you won't get cast for certain roles. You won't get contracts for certain clubs. Myself and yourself as well. Maybe we might not get certain jobs on television or on radio because people doubt us. If you like me, you like me. If you don't like me, you don't like me. But I'm not going to hold it against you. I'll never hold anything against anybody. We've all got things that we like, things that we don't like, and things that make us cringe and things that make us wet ourselves laughing. So it's just a matter of being comfortable in your body and just getting on with it and seeing where you end up.
Well, it's worked for you so far, Jermaine.
I think that's the important thing, like you just said, that it's worked for him. That at the end of the day, like, you're not going to fit everything. Sometimes you just won't be right for it, or you won't be at the right club or whatever, the way the manager's setting up, it's just not right for you. That's not suggesting that you're not good or that you can't do it. It's just that in this particular situation, it's just not right for you. And as you said there, Bex, when it didn't go right for you, it ended up being even better because you went somewhere else. Look at Pat. Pat's been at tons of clubs and now look where he's in the Premier League banging in goals for Leeds. Like, that's just, as long as you enjoy doing what you're doing and you keep going, like, some things aren't going to be right, but you just got to crack on, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you agree with that, Patrick? Do you, as a rule, are you quite secure in, you know, what you do, your performance and the role that you fulfil?
Yeah, I think so. As Matty just said, that you work through it. If it's not going well, you know that, as long as you believe in yourself, you know that you've got value. You're going to have value somewhere. If it doesn't necessarily work at that club, I've been at plenty of clubs where your face doesn't fit and you're not built into that kind of mold that's needed there. So as long as you keep valuing yourself, I think the problem is when you start doubting yourself, then people start to sense that. If you start to be a little bit not very confident, people sense that and you then become easy picking. So as long as you kind of carry yourself well, I think that you believe in yourself, you'll always have a place somewhere.
Honestly, I think that those hearing that from you guys will be really helpful to so many people, particularly at the minute, because I think how often do you get to sit down with people like you who've done so much in their life and hear that? You know what I mean? So that will have really, really helped. And I was really interested listening to you three talk about that then. And I imagine you, the listener to this now, will be like, actually, yeah, you're right. If you have that belief in yourself, you can go out and get the role that's right for you.
I mean, I defy anyone to have not had a setback at some point in their career. And then it's how you deal with that and then, you know, move forward. You know, except that bloke who got recast. I've never seen him anything else again. But, you know, apart from that, you know, I just keep pushing forward.
Do you know what? Should we dedicate this podcast to the rabbit and that guy?
Well? Yeah. Oh, God. I hope he's not a Leeds fan.
I hope he is.
Yeah. You better check your Instagram mentions in the next few days.
Remember, you can get in touch hashtag LUFC no, don't. If you're listening.
I do know he was replaced by a Leeds fan, that's a fact. I do
really?
Know that, yeah, yeah.
Right, back to transfers then, Patrick. When you arrive at a club, is it kind of a bit like school? You know, does someone like nominate themselves, or are they said, right, show this person around, go and help them and stuff like that?
Kind of, but I think that generally when you move to a club, there's always at least one player that you know or know of. I've always found that from the first time I moved, so when I first moved down to Chelsea, Nathaniel Chalobah, I knew of him and kind of just stuck with him, became a really great player. And he's a great lad as well. So like, I've been friends with him since then, and he took me under his wing there and kind of showed me the ropes, made sure that everyone was like cool with me. And he made it really easy, especially moving from home for the first time. And then every club I've been at, I've known someone or I've known of someone who I can kind of like become friends with or at least talk to whilst you're getting to know everyone. So I think that does make it easy. And generally, if you're a new player, the current players, they want to kind of accept you and make it easy for you so that you can help the team. So I don't think it's like school where maybe you might get picked on a little bit, or someone might try and like give you a tough time.
And I want to ask you as well, Patrick, if you could sign anyone right now at Leeds, who would it be?
If I could sign anyone.
Money's no object.
Money's no object.
Your legs have gone back.
Yeah, you're going to Marine FC, Jermaine.
Did you not hear what we said about having to run a lot?
That's what you're there for.
Money's no object. All right, so let's think about it position wise. What can we do with?
Definitely not going to be a forward.
Nah, I think we're pretty much number nine. We're pretty much sorted. I think we'll lead that one. Do you know what? I'd sign, especially with the way we play, the left back from Bayern Munich, Davies. You know, is it Alphonso Davies?
Yeah. Alphonso, yeah. His missus plays football as well. She's a pro in America. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. He's brilliant.
Yeah, do you think his style of play suits this Leeds team?
Yeah, I mean, the way we attack, and we literally, our fullbacks sometimes play as wingers. Like, we are very attacking, and he was just, he came into my head quite quick then, so I'd say it'd be a perfect fit. I mean, Leeds fans, don't get excited. I don't think it's going to happen.
It'd be nice.
Get that on Twitter. We are going to put some questions to you, Patrick, next week from fans. Is that all good with you?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Depending on the question.
Yeah.
He's just green-lighted anything.
Please do feel free to send in any questions for Patrick using the hashtag LUFCpod. Thank you, Matthew Lewis. As always, Jermaine Bedford, Patrick Bamford, thank you so much for joining us on the official Leeds United podcast. Smashing every other club podcast out there, lads. Well done.
Leeds, Leeds, Leeds,
take
Leeds,
care,
Leeds.
Stay safe, happy new year, and we will see you next week.